welcome to another episode of GT Radio. And what can I tell you about today's show? But these two guys that are on our show today, bottom line, we're going to have a lot of fun. They're amazing people. Please welcome to the show my two good friends, Roy Corby and Steve Neely. How are you, buddy? How are you guys?
Thanks, Tino. Great to be here.
Hey, Tino. How's it going?
Roy? Good, good, good. I know the Patriots are playing tonight, so you're making a special appearance, right? Is that correct, right?
You know, I was going to try to call into the program from the stadium, but I didn't think that would go over too well.
No, not at all.
You know, the Patriots are the Patriots. The real tragedy here is that the Rockies are playing right now, and it's tied up.
There you go. There you go. A rivalry starts.
So, you know, with all the friends you've got in this business, Tino, you comment on me and Steve as two of your great friends. That worries me about the rest of your friends. If me and Steve are your great ones, you need help.
Yeah, I didn't know we
you
were calling
help.
In for an intervention what? Today. But
this is an intervention, exactly.
I do need help. We'll talk about that after the show. Speaking of help and laughter and all the good things in life, you know, one of the things I love about both you guys, you're great characters. You're very different people, but you're the same at heart. And the Greeks have a saying that the Greek philosophers used to say that your character is your destiny. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I look back at my college days and I think of Greek tragedies. If that's where I'm headed, that's just sad. I like to think of myself as an optimistic person. I think my character's optimistic or determined, and that's just sad.
Well, that's because of all the everything you tried to get into that you got you couldn't make it in. You know, when you try to get into the, and I'm not talking sororities either, but I'm sure there were plenty of those.
Oh, man.
I guess this is part of your character, right?
Holy cow, that was an interesting thing about me.
Yeah, being funny, it doesn't hurt. No, but seriously, guys, what makes it tick?
You know, for me, it's optimism and perseverance, right? I mean, you know, we're all human. We're all going through a ton of things that you know, we have our bad days, we make our mistakes, but you know, how can you stay positive and how can you persevere through that and, you know, find a way to get up off the mat and do it again tomorrow and be better at it?
Yeah, I would agree with both of those, and I would add a willingness and a desire to learn. Because, you know, as we persevere, if we don't learn from the tragedy, if we don't learn from our mistakes, then we're never going to make it any better. We're just going to keep doing the same things over and over. But when we learn, then it's a lot easier to recover and do it again the next time.
So
yeah, I think Steve nails that. That's a great point.
Yeah. But some people find that difficult. What? You know, not everybody is motivated and can keep off the mat and all that stuff. How do you develop those skills? How do you, you know?
You know, finding everybody has something that drives them. And finding that, whether it's, you know, for me, my kids, you know, for a long time for me, it was career, right? You know, how do I advance my career? How do I? You know, chase that ever elusive dollar, things like that. And you start to get a little older, a little smarter. And, you know, you pick better things that force you to get up, whether it's, you know, your kids or that Steve pointed out, the constant learning. You know, having worked with Steve several times, I know that, you know, he is so motivated on, you know, how do I learn? What else can I learn and improve and help other people with? And, you know, that, so everybody's got that one thing or several things, and you've just got to hone in on that. And it probably changes throughout your life as your life circumstance changes.
And I think, you know, the other thing that, you know, I can speak for Roy, I can speak for myself. I think what you get from other people as well, and just, you know, I have a bad day or I'm having a bad day. I walk out on the casino floor and talk to employees, talk to customers, I'm reminded of why I do what I do. You know, these guys aren't having a, you know, they're having fun. And my team's out there having a good time helping them have fun. And, you know, they're not necessarily winning, but they're not motivated by that. They just want to have a good time. They want to get away from whatever it is that's bothering them. And we're providing an outlet for them to do that. And that's very rewarding. And I don't know, I get energy from other people. And I think that's, you talk to a stand-up comedian, you know, you talk to a performer, and they'll tell you that's where we that's why we do this every day, is because we get to do it and we get that energy from other people. We make an impact on other people's lives and we get to share that.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it dovetails right into the next question, which is, you know, these traits that we're talking about and the character that you need to have to succeed in this business, are they amplified because we're in an entertainment business? Do we need to do something, you know, because we're interacting with people that want to have a good time all the time?
I think that's yes and no. I think when you talk about what we do, it makes it almost more difficult to be able to do it every day because it is exhausting. Knowing that every day you're going to have to adapt to a new situation that you didn't have yesterday, but that's also rewarding. And because there are no 2 days that are the same. If you're working in a factory, then you can condition yourself to what you're going to have to do every day. You're going to make widgets and you're going to punch in, you're going to punch out, you're going to go home and you're going to be done with it. We don't have that option. You know, we punch in, we run around in circles and look for the widgets that someone made, and then someone else hid from us, and then we go about our day and we try to recover from that, and in the meantime, also be entertaining as we do it, and that's I think, and then we go home and we think about, you know, where all the widgets were and why we didn't think to look there first.
I think it does get amplified, you know, by the fact that we're, you know, constantly on stage, right? I mean, you know, you end up in these leadership roles and you have so many people on your shows that are tremendous leaders. And, you know, what part of what makes them who they are is their ability to go out there even when they're not at their peak but still not showing that, and being able to amplify a positive image out on the floor with the guests, with the employees, and keeping the team motivated and moving forward. You know, it is a show.
You know, and I think to Roy's point, the impact that people like him, people like myself, have on the teams is so, I don't think we always recognize how much in people in leadership positions around the casino, how much influence just their very attitude about life has on the team around them. When, you know, we've all worked for those people that, you know, they drag themselves in every day and it's just a chore. But we've also worked with those people who have never had a bad day in their life. And which one do we want to be more like? And which one makes our team more excited to do things for us? And I think about that often when I'm, you know, just having a bad day. I recognize, you know, I come to recognize that, you know, me having a bad day, if I let anyone else know I'm having a bad day, it's going to amplify, and it's going to make it even more difficult for other people who are struggling in their own way to get through their day.
Interesting. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it. So, Roy, what we're talking about here is the fact that, like you said, in a way, we also are performers when we go out there and represent the casino, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I might be the general manager here, but ultimately, you know, I have a boss and bosses and stakeholders and tribal members who are also out there on my casino floor as guests. And you know, they need to see that when I'm out there, I'm portraying a positive image of their business, and I'm, you know, driving the team forward, and I'm being engaged. You know, like I said, we all have things that are going on, but we have to realize that when we're here, we're on the show. That's it, right? If I go if I go see, you know, Garth Brooks next week, I'm sorry if Garth is having a bad day, but you know what? I want to see Garth perform. He's got to bring it, and he does. You know, that's what makes, you know, artists like that part of it. And while we're not, you know, musicians or entertainers, we're still part of a show because ultimately we're in an entertainment business.
You know, there's a couple of businesses that do it really well too. One of them in the industry and one out. You know, no one does it better, in my opinion, than Southwest Airlines. And guess what? Every single employee that interviews at Southwest Airlines at some point is going to be asked to tell a joke. They're going to ask to perform. They're going to be asked to do something that makes them uncomfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And that's the kind of person I want on the floor, someone that can react to an uncomfortable situation in a natural way with a positive attitude about whatever it is that's going on. And the other company that does it really well, and I talk about both these companies at every new employee orientation that we have because I want them to get the point, but the other one is MGM Grand. You know, they don't have employees. They have cast members. They don't have interviews. They have auditions. So, you know, they get it, and they reinforce that from day one. And I think those are messages that our teams, you know, should have with them to help, as we've been talking about, help get through those rough days. And also, you know, so there's one side of it, you know, prepare for the bad days. But what about the other side of the coin? When people are having a great day, what tools do we give them to share that, just that excitement with the customers, with their fellow team members? You know, how do we reinforce that so that it becomes contagious throughout our organization? We've spent so much time, so much effort focusing on the negative, yet how can we spend more time focusing on that positive and creating that environment that everyone wants to be a part of? Which would benefit us more if we could just bottle that and resell it?
Yeah, it's great. So, guys, I got to ask you a question because everybody's talking about this wherever I go, and this opinion really matters. What is going on with all this growth and these new casinos and these expansions? It seems like it never ends. And where will it take us ultimately?
You know, it'd be interesting to see if me and Steve have different opinions on this. You know, the economy is great, right? The growth, you know, employment numbers are fantastic. You know, although the gaming market today is pretty much where it was before the recession, and the top players are making up a greater percentage of the revenue today than they did in 2007. So it looks to me that the masses are coming out and playing, but they're not playing still either A, to their potential, or B, it is their potential. They learned a lesson from the crash and they're holding money back. So when you talk about expansion and new builds, you got to think that besides construction costs continue to go up, you got to wonder how many more billion-dollar local casinos we're going to see. We shouldn't, right? So you looked at the early 2000s, everybody was, you know, Aliante was, you know, a billion plus, places like this. And you're like, man, why are we spending $1 billion on the local market? And you would think that now you shouldn't see that anymore because gambling is so prolific around the country. So everybody's got competition. I mean, so while Wynn's still costing $1 billion in Boston, that's because it's the Wynn name and that's what they do. But otherwise, I would think that you still see expansions, but not necessarily at the same dollar amount unless it's just due to construction costs.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Roy. And, you know, the other element that I would, you know, just throw out there is that the gaming customer has become, you know, they learned a lot through the recession, but they've also learned a lot because we're not a brand new thing anymore. You know, like Roy said, we are at every, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
We're, you know, we've become fairly common. So to remain interesting to customers and to try our best to grow, we are going to have to offer things that don't have near the margin that, you know, a simple slot machine has. And, you know, these new things that are being added, you know, they are helping to grow revenue, but they're not necessarily growing profit. And I think there's a real disconnect a lot of times when, you know, I've talked to a lot of tribal councils, and they're very interested in adding, you know, these things that they don't have currently, and they have good reasons for wanting them. But when you explain to them that the impact of adding that, and not just tribal councils, I mean, companies all over the, you know, casinos all over the country are doing this, we can add that. Just understand that that allocation of capital is not going to have the return that it would have 20 years ago just buying more slot machines.
Right.
Does it help you bring, you know, return visits? You know, yes. But it doesn't have that same return that, you know, nothing was more profitable than a tent on top of a former driveway or former parking lot with electric poles coming out of the ceiling with no ventilation. The smoke was so thick you couldn't see across the room, but every slot machine was full. Well, if we were to try to put that casino in play today, no one would show up because we've grown.
Yeah.
The customers' expectations have grown. The need to satisfy, you know, the need that we have to satisfy now is different than it was, you know, 25, 30 years ago. So we have to adapt our business model as well. We all just have to recognize that the margins are going to be different than they once were.
Yeah, so you know, a great point that Steve brings up there basically is that, you know, for the last however many years, you know, we've heard gaming executives talk, you know, in Vegas, at G2E and, you know, to a lesser extent at NIGA, but, you know, on earnings calls and everything saying, you know, in Vegas, you know, non-gaming revenue is making up over 50% of the revenue. Holy cow. And tribes have to realize that, well, you know what, that's not going to happen in local casinos. So while it's a goal and you want to improve and increase non-gaming revenues, it's not the same market that Vegas has. You know, and if the tribe that we're working for wants to go in that direction, as a GM, you know, have to make sure to temper expectations that, okay, you know what, as Steve said, we're going to drive visits. They might not be profitable visits. So we're going to increase revenue, but we're not going to increase profit on these items.
So what I'm hearing then though is as the expansions grow and the amenities become different and veer away from gambling, so does the profits go down. Is that correct?
The profit margins. You know, hopefully
profit
you're building
margins,
things.
Yes.
Hopefully you're building things that are still going to be profitable. They're just not, you know, a fine dining, you know, restaurant, if you have the business, is going to be profitable. It's not going to be nearly as profitable as a slot machine, but it's still going to turn a profit. You know, new hotel rooms, you know, you certainly can, you know, hotel rooms are profitable if you just, as long as you don't overbuild, but they're most likely not as profitable as, you know, slot machines or gaming tables. So it's just a matter of, you know, catering there, but there are markets where, you know, hotel rooms are extremely profitable. So there's, you know, you just there's not one, you know, one blanket doesn't cover all of it. So you have to identify your particular market, your particular business. But for the most part, as we grow, as we evolve, first of all, we have to, again, we're not going to be, you know, we can't be tents on top of parking lots with smoke so thick you can feel it through your pores anymore. Customers aren't going to show up for that. The customer expects more. But we also, to Roy's point, we can't expect in a locals market like, you know, Corning, California, where I'm at, you can't expect to build a Mirage like they did in 1989 and suddenly generate the revenues that, you know, that Steve Wynn was able to produce. That's not going to, we have to be realistic within our environment as well.
Okay. That's cool. Cool stuff. So, guys, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned from failing at something?
How much time we have left? Well, the reality is, I was fortunate enough to be asked at the Casino Marketing and Technology Conference this summer to do the keynote on failure. And at first I was a little taken aback. You know, why would John have asked me to do this speech on failing? Is it because I'm so good at it? And then it became apparent, it was, I worked on it. I spent weeks and months trying to figure out how I was going to put this together. And it really came down to, you know what, I have learned so much more from failure than I ever did from success. There's a story there. And if I'm experiencing it, then I'm hopeful. I'm going to guess that other people are as well. And I just need to provide some insight as to how to react to that and help them. And when I took that approach, then, you know, things started lining up. But, you know, I think it's hard, and it would do the audience a disservice to take, you know, isolated incidents and talk about, you know, how this one thing completely reshaped. You know, it really becomes a series of decisions. And the way you react to those is really where the lesson is. And I think the key lesson in all of it is you have to pick up the bat and walk into the batter's box. You can't stay in the on-deck circle and expect to generate anything.
Yeah.
You're never going to learn anything sitting on the bench. You're going to learn it getting out there and swinging. And every once in a while, even with your eyes closed, you actually connect. And that's, you know, I realize it's not a specific answer to your question, but I think the approach to that is what I think is the important part, not the fear of. Because if you fear it, you're never going to get in the game.
Yeah. Steve nails that, right? I mean, there's a time in the lifetime of everything that works when it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, everything that works today did not work the first time it was made, right? There's a reason there's no longer an iPhone 1, for crying out loud, right? So, you know, what do you take from that? How do you get back up? And how do you know which questions to ask on, okay, how do I improve this? How do I make this better? Where did I make my mistake? Was it an error in judgment? Like, was this never going to work? Is there no market for this? Or was it an execution problem? So, you know, being able to rely on experience, the people around you, knowing who you can sit and talk to and say, hey, let me bounce this off you. Where did I go wrong here? Or how do we make this better? So, you know, I've got it somewhat working, but I was expecting a better result. Was I overambitious? Did I misjudge my market? Or am I not executing it correctly? You know, and just working with people to go through that, whether it's, you know, whoever your support system is, whether it's outside focus groups, you know, for me, you know, unfortunately, I can call Steve, right? I mean, I've got a whole group of industry experts that I can call at any given moment and say, hey, I need a hand with this. And I've done it to Steve a lot. You know, and there's the beauty of maintaining those relationships and having people that you know you can rely on.
And one of the
having
things,
a support network.
Yeah, and the other side of that is the, especially if you're the leader of the organization, the environment that you set up for your team to be comfortable knowing that everything they try is not going to succeed. And one of the things that I've always shared with my team is, and I'm serious about this, if we're not making some mistakes, then we're playing it too safe. And when, you know, it's hard for people who, especially in an environment where I'm at now, where it's been very comfortable for a long period of time, to, you know, now to step out and try something new. But the only way we're going to grow our business to the level that we should have it at is by trying some things and doing things differently than we do now. And guess what? Some of them are not going to work. But I also feel like if you have a group that's focused on improvement and recognizing success as well as failure, they're going to put the work in the front end, and their mistakes are going to be a lot smaller and their successes are going to be a lot larger if they are comfortable knowing that, you know, as long as they don't do something, you know, illegal or something that's just obviously, you know, inappropriate, you're going to have their back if it doesn't go the way that everyone hoped that it would.
So, you know, let me jump in, because what Steve just said was it's something that, since I've known him, he has lived by, and I love that. So I'm happy he gave me a way to cut in here and tell it. So what Steve just said was perfect. So there are so many times when we work together, and Steve would have a project, you know, for him and his team, and I'd go sit in his office and talk to him about where he was at, and he would lay out his vision, and then he would come back with the plan and it was somewhat different than his vision, I'd say, hey, what happened here? You know, this is what you wanted to do. He'd say, Roy, this came from a member of my team, and I didn't think it was a material difference, so I want them to be able to run with their vision. He's like, and then we can go back and talk about it as a team afterwards on how we could have improved it. He's like, but he gives his team the empowerment to run with that because it wasn't going to make a material difference, and he doesn't have to do it his way. I love that about working with Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so critical to building a team.
Well, thanks for that, Roy. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The best thing you do.
Absolutely.
I love that.
No, that's great stuff. That's great stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the new generation of tribal casino operators. We know that, you know, we're on the cusp of that as the elders are getting older and passing away and passing the baton over. What should they be thinking about for the future, these new operators?
You know, to me, it's remembering what the core business is, right? So, you know, A, we're a casino first and foremost. This goes back to the question, you know, two questions ago, right? I mean, you know, we want to grow non-gaming revenues and things like that, but we want to keep in mind that ultimately we're a casino. So, you know, new tribal leaders coming up and thinking about that as, okay, how do I make my casino bigger, better? How do I add more amenities? Well, those amenities can be important. They can be complementary, but they're not going to be, as Steve points out, profit margins not going to be as high as it is on the slot machine. So everything we do should be complementary to our core business. That's what I think the focus for you know, the new tribal leaders coming up should be. How do we how do we maintain and protect that?
And Roy, you absolutely nailed that. And the other side of that that I think is really, really fun for me at least, is being able to help mentor a lot of the young tribal members that are moving into executive positions and management positions, and watching their reaction when, you know, you push back and you challenge them with, you know, because it's fun to build cool stuff. We all like. You know, if I'm still looking for that job where all you do is you show up one day and you just build something cool and you go home, you come back the next day, you build another something cool. I haven't found it yet. But
yeah.
You know, when you have the ability to mentor someone and show them the value of the plan and the vision and the modifying the vision and working towards something new, I think we have a great opportunity in our industry to really pass a baton, and a lot of tribes are really, in my opinion, really doing it right in that they're creating mentorship programs and they're bringing tribal, you know, they're focusing on getting their tribal members educated. And when they get their education, they're bringing them in, not at executive level, they're bringing them in at, you know, supervisors and then letting them move up into manager. And struggle and fight the battle and learn what the people they'll one day be supervising have to go through every day. And the tribes that go through that process, it is going to pay off so much for them in the long run, because you don't have a management team that comes in with an entitlement mindset. They worked for it. And they're also a group of people that are going to be loyal to that company for, you know, probably for the rest of their lives, because it's a part of their culture. It's a part of them. Their family is dependent on the performance of that operation, and they, you know, they're going to make sure that everything they do is done to the best of their ability, and their expectations are going to be high. That's what's exciting for me, is being able to be a part of these organizations that are really focused on that.
Very, very cool. Let's take some questions. You guys have lit up the board here. Let's take some calls.
This has been, this could be ugly.
Great.
Who knows who's on the other end of this? I know.
Hello,
who Roy hangs out with.
Radio.
This could be bad.
I have Roy and Steve. Do you have a question for them?
Hi, Steven.
Hello.
Steven, Roy, it's Luigi. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Luigi.
Hey, how you doing, Luigi?
I'm enjoying
it. Good.
This was a great interview. Good, Tino. How are you?
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Very much so. Yeah, the leadership, the mentoring, the those are the parts that I wanted to talk about with you and ask a question ultimately. But I've always been under the you know, thinking back on your life and your career, just about, and not just your career, but your life, every 10 years, we all change. We change the way that we think about things and our positions on things and how to do business. You just learn from your mistakes and your failures, like you were saying, Steve, right? I saw
right.
that speech, and I totally agree with you. But both of you are now at brand new casinos, but you've also worked at a variety of other casinos. And when it's time to get your people motivated and reach objectives and goals that are set by your executive team and management team or the tribe, how are you getting the established employees that have been there through so many management changes? And, you know, we have a lot of turnover in this business, right? How do you get them to sign off on your philosophy and your policies and your vision? And when some of these people are, you know, literally not interested in going there with you, how do you accomplish that through all your career?
Well, you know, for me, I'm a people person. I mean, you guys know me. People who are on the lines, you know, might know me. I love people. So, you know, for me, it's always been pretty simple. I walk into a place, and my initial interviews with my leadership team, if you will, I never talk about what I'm expecting. I want to know about them. Tell me about you. Tell me about what's going on with you. Tell me how long you've been. I try to find out as much about them as possible so I can take an active interest in what's important to them.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then you get buy-in by building trust, right? Once they know that I'm invested in them and their success and I'm going to be here. I mean, I get the jadedness of, hey, you know what? We've had a lot of general managers. You're just one more. You won't be here in another year, so I'm not going to listen to that.
Yeah, there you go. That attitude, right.
You know, but once they – Casino del Sol is a perfect example of that. You know, so my first – you know, 2005, my first week there, I'm director of table games. I'm walking around with one of the shift managers on swing shift telling him what I'm looking for and all this. And he says to me at the end of the walk, he's like, guys like you don't last long around here. Well, 8 years later, when I resigned, I reminded him of that speech, and we just kind of laughed about it because I got where he was coming from. But you just have to let them know that, hey, I'm here, you know, and I want to be part of this, and I want to help,
funny.
And I want us to grow together.
Right. You know, and Roy's better at that than anyone I've ever seen, and he truly is passionate about people and does a great job of making everyone feel great about not only themselves, but what they're doing for the organization. And that's something that I've learned from him, and I try to apply. But there's also some external resources I would refer people to help with that, because it isn't necessarily natural. We all start with ourselves, and our world revolves around ourselves.
That's correct.
But when we turn that around, then, and we start actually making the priority other people, then you find this reward that you didn't know existed. And there's two books I would recommend for anyone in a leadership position to read. The first one is Dale Carnegie. It came out in the you know, 20s or the 30s, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah,
read it.
My dad had me read that book years ago. It's a great book. You're right.
Yep. Read it again, and then read it a third time. By the third time, mm-hmm. it'll actually make sense. But, and then the other one is, you know, some newer stuff, Simon Sinek, It Starts With Why. One of my focuses that I've brought to this organization, and I see it on the floor now at the line level, is I really want to make sure that when we make a change or we announce something or we're doing something, everyone in the property understands why we're doing it. If I tell them what we're doing, then they'll just repeat what I said. They won't necessarily own it. But when I tell mm-hmm. them why we're doing it, then they're going to come up with a way of explaining it that makes sense to them. And they now have a certain amount of ownership, and they may not agree with it, but they know why we're doing it. And so when someone asks the question, then they'll be able to explain to them what it is we're doing because they know why we're doing it.
Yeah, there's a great management consultant out there, Mac McIntyre. one of the things that he goes through is exactly that right there. You know, let's say we're closing the steakhouse and you're explaining that to your team. Hey, guys, because of this, 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 and this, we're closing the steakhouse. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You never say what you're doing until you say the why of what you're doing. See, I mean, that's a great example, Steve, because it's so true. People can buy in when they know the why.
Yeah.
Master of the strategic logics, Mr. Mac McIntyre.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, very good. Very good.
Yeah,
well, good talking to you,
okay.
Luigi.
It's great talking
Thanks,
to both
Luigi.
Of you guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll see
You're
you
welcome.
Next week.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank
I'll
you.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, let's get one more question here. Good stuff. This is Tino Magnetti. You have a question for Roy and Steve?
Hey, Tino. It's Heidi Antuzana here.
How are you, Heidi?
I'm great. How is Steve and Roy today? They sound like they're having a lot of fun.
You know, any afternoon I get to spend some quality time with Roy is a great afternoon. Getting to spend some time with you even just adds icing to the cake.
Oh, gosh. Let me tell you guys, I'm trying to decipher who is who in terms of the voice, and I'm thinking that Steve is the gruffer voice, you know, the more camel man kind of voice. And Roy is also known among some circles as the Vanilla Ice kind of guy, you know, if you saw his latest headshot. So we won't go there. But
you have no idea how much mileage I'm going to get out of that comment right there.
Thanks for nothing. So Heidi, if you have kids, I like to explain my voice this way. I am the voice of Manny in Ice Age. And if you watch the movie, that's all you're going to think of now that you hear me. I'm freaking
I'm gonna,
Manny.
Oh, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to do that. So,
that's true.
So let me start. Either one of you to answer the question first, but if you met somebody that you are mentoring and they are going into the first time in their career into Indian gaming, what would you tell them that you know today that you wish you had known 20 years ago or whenever you started Indian gaming?
What's funny is I can tell you what Roy would say, and he can probably tell you what I would say.
Oh, my goodness.
What Roy would say is, let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah. Let it go. Don't let it eat at you, because it does. Let it go.
Oh, that's
okay.
Just funny.
And what I
yeah,
would say
one.
Is, patience.
Yep.
Be mm-hmm. patient. It's going to take longer than you thought it was going to, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
when the decision is made, then the decision is made.
Right.
But mm-hmm. it's going to take a while to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I like
he nailed it, because that's what I would say. Let it go. You know, ultimately, ownership decides, and there we are. But, you know, I like to equate the difference between tribal gaming and commercial gaming this way. You know, I worked for MGM and I worked for Harrah's before, and now I'm in tribal gaming. So Harrah's and MGM hire me based off of my resume and my interview and then trust me to go do my job or they fire me. Tribal gaming, they hire me for the same reasons, but they don't then trust me to do my job. They want to get to know me first. They want to know how I think, how I came up with my reasoning. They want to know that they can trust me before they let me fully do my job. And
yeah,
and you just got to... You just gotta know that, and okay, here's where we are. You know, yes, they pay me to do a job, but they don't trust me yet. They've got to know me first.
Right. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, Roy has talked me off of many cliffs. Just be patient. Yeah, let it go. It's over. Move on.
Yeah.
I like that. And one other question, if I may, Tina?
Yeah, absolutely.
So more and more working with casinos, I've been asked more and more to work with the accountability side of things. You know, they'll say, Heidi, we've had so many trainings, so training and development, but how do we hold our staff, our employees, our team members accountable? So I just want to know from your side, what have you done in the past that I know a huge topic, but in a helicopter viewpoint.
I don't hold anybody accountable until I have the reward part down. Until you are rewarding your top performers, it's tough to hold anybody else accountable. Right? They have to know what is in it for them. See, you've got to nail the other part of the equation. Right? I mean, obviously there are things that you just have to fire people for. Right? I think all businesses do a poor job of getting rid of the really bad performers because, well, I have to write them up 8 times before I can do this. Really poor performers hurt our business and we have to get rid of. But more importantly, we have to make sure that the reward system to get everybody to the buy-in stage to up their game is more important.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah, and I really wouldn't add too much to that. I mean, I think Roy's right on. The one thing I may add is when it comes to accountability, there's also something very similar in responsibility. And the fact we have these positions, it comes with a certain level of responsibility to the tribe, to the business, to the team. And I think those two kind of go hand in hand. If you can't trust them to be responsible in that position for participating and building the team, then they're not going to ever be comfortable with being accountable either.
Right.
Yep. Very good stuff.
And you know what? You both guys, I read a quote earlier today that epitomizes a lot of what you both have said together, and that is that leadership is not about being the best, it's about making everyone else better.
Yes,
absolutely.
So thank
absolutely.
You very much, and thank you, Tino.
Thanks, Adi.
Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you.
Great.
Nope, you don't get to call me Vanilla Ice, Steve. That doesn't happen.
oh, you have no idea.
What have we started?
I'm going to dress up at Halloween as
started.
I'm going to dress up at Halloween as Vanilla Ice with the name tag Roy Corby.
Oh, man.
You guys, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be an ugly. It'll be an ugly Halloween or a beautiful one. It depends how you look at it.
Yeah.
Let's get up. Let's get another caller here. All right. Let's see what we got here. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve? Can you hear us?
Someone's still laughing over Ice Corby.
Hello, can you hear us? I guess they can. I guess we'll have to come back to that one. Okay, sorry, guys.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm just happy it wasn't either one of my ex-wives.
Yeah.
They both
want to
know if I'm
here.
Getting paid for this so they can get half.
Oh, man. Oh. All right, let's see who this is. Hang on one sec. Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve?
We
you have Golly running
was
the dashboard.
Was it something we said? Or I mean,
we broke the internet. There we are, baby.
Do you have Golly running the switchboard from the hockey game?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Right, right. He's not paying attention. All right.
Oh, I don't
want to
talk about
here.
Hockey.
Oh man, let me see what we got here.
Sorry, Steve. Right. Milwaukee won.
There we go.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve? Hello.
Ground control to Major Tom. Hello. Ground control to Major Tom.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Strange.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Hello.
Who is that?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Hello.
Go ahead.
There you
hello.
Go. Hey. Tino, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
As a lifetime person in the entertainment industry, I think 45 years qualifies for lifetime. I want to sign this act up and take it on the road. I got casinos around the world. I don't want to see it.
You say that,
but
you haven't seen our writer yet.
We'll put Tino on a control panel that he can't function with, but it's good. I do, too, guys.
I don't
know
what I would want in my dream room.
There you go. And you come up. Ice Baby, as it breaks into Ice Baby, we introduce it. And starting, okay, never mind. Anyway, I am, as always, Tino, I honestly think these things are so wonderful. I do have something I'm going to say at the end here related to that. But
sure.
Both of you, I can feel the passion for the industry that you're in. I feel the passion for the people and helping them achieve. That passion comes with a heart light that's pretty strong. How do you guys find downtime to step back and inhale and exhale?
I'm still
working
on that.
This is probably the area. This is the area that I would say me and Steve both struggle at. I mean, I would think that if you asked, you know, I'm twice divorced. I mean, if you would ask, you know, well, Steve's managed to maintain, you know, a healthy marriage and a great family life. But I bet if you asked either one of our families, man, this is something we struggle at because of how passionate we are about what we do. And, you know, it takes a big toll, you know, on them probably more than us, right? When are you going to make time to do some of the things we want to do? You know, and so I can't give you a good answer because I haven't done it well in my life. Like I said, knowing Steve the way I do, I know he struggled with this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're exactly right, Roy. And, you know, obviously, you know, I'm blessed in that I have a family that has been very supportive of me from day one. What I would also say is I have managed to incorporate, you know, to good, bad, or otherwise, you know, my family into a lot of what I've been able to do. There was a time, you know, when especially my sons were younger, when I remember we were going to, I had a concert at a property I was at, and one of my sons said, "Are you going to make us meet another rock star tonight, Dad?" And, you know, it was
terrible.
We were at a hockey game, and we were in Phoenix during spring training time. We decided to go to a hockey game that night. We just got regular seats, and one of my other sons said, "How come we're not in a suite?" You know, so, you know, it's things like that where, you know, we have – obviously had access to a lot of really fun things as well, and I've tried to make my family a part of it as much as I could along the way. And I think now, looking back, both my sons would laugh about, you know, those things that, you know, that they said, and I think they're grateful for a lot of those opportunities. But it does come at a price, and, you know, for us to not recognize and you know, or to discount that, really would be doing a disservice to those around us that have allowed us to be have this much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love your comments. And I'll just say, I've been married to the same lady for 46 years. And on our anniversary, somebody said, "How have you guys stayed together?" And I said, "I keep her medicated."
Yeah, I actually found medication for myself. That had a lot to do with it, too.
Right.
So.
Well, every night I bring her in some pills that I know will help relax. Next morning she looks at me and goes, "You are so handsome." And then I broke down and let her get LASIK, and now I'm not handsome anymore. But that's a whole nother challenge.
Oh, man.
The thing that I'm knocked out with, I would like to just get in my car and drive to meet each of you guys. But the problem is I'm in Wisconsin and we only know a team called the Packers here. I heard you guys mention somebody else and the Brewers.
Well,
I don't think hitting. You guys would give me the time of day, you know?
Well, we'll talk after this division series and see how my Rockies fare in games two through five.
You know, the thing I would like to do is get in a motor coach and seriously drive cross country and meet with everybody that you had on the shows every week and meet with these two characters if they're still out. But anyway, meet with everybody and write all of this stuff because there's an amazing book here. And I'm very active with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the things you're talking about would help every one of us grow to be better. My success, it's wonderful to have it hanging on the wall, but I remember the getting there was the fun. and men falling down.
No, I agree. And if we could get all the people that Roy and I have worked with at all the different places we've worked at over the years to buy a copy, would be a bestseller.
If I could get all the kids and ex-wives to buy a copy.
Oh, you mean you guys would be demanding they pay you not to print it? We've got a best-selling book that we haven't even printed yet. Well, thank you. I know you've got a lot of other questions, but thank you, guys, and thanks for the passion you presented and the energy that it takes to succeed in what's a way of life, not just a job. So
well, thank you very much.
Rock on. Rock on.
Thanks, Randy. Appreciate it. All right, bye-bye. All right, let's see who else we got here. That was great. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Roy and Steve. Do you have a question for them?
Hey, long-time listener, second-time caller here.
Hey, Barrett?
Yeah, that's Barrett.
Barrett, how you doing, man?
I'm
doing
well.
This could get ugly, Roy.
Oh, my God.
Wait. I have an observation and a question. First, I want to thank Tino and Golly for bringing people together on these calls, on these blogs, radio blogs, you know, in a busy, self-centered world. These are entertaining. Sometimes you might find a nugget here or there to use and take forward because it's about improving just a little bit every day, right?
Yep.
So my question is for Vanilla Roy. The Patsaron. The Pats are on.
Oh, right.
The Patriots are on right now. I can't believe you're live. Please explain.
You know what? I can't believe it. This is the only commitment I've ever kept in my life. I mean, obviously, I've divorced twice. Both my wives will tell you I couldn't keep a commitment. And here the hell I am on the radio while the Patriots are freaking playing. I'm really disappointed.
I know,
quite honestly. It's all about priorities, Roy.
I think you committed to it before the schedule came out.
I must have. I don't know what the heck I was thinking.
All right. Lastly, the guy you thought most likely to troll will not. Peace, brothers. See you next week.
Take care.
See you, Barry.
Okay, take care. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, that was great. Barrett's a great guy. All right, let's see who else we have here. We've got quite a few people that have called in. Let me see here. Here we go.
It's all Roy's ex-wives.
Hello. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. I have Roy and Steve on the phone. Do you have a question for them? Can you hear us? Hello.
And next.
Someone else there. There we go. Hang on one sec, guys. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve? Maybe we have a technical malfunction here or someone's... hang on one sec. Let me look here.
It's all Golly's fault, I'm sure.
It's all Golly's fault, yeah. Hang on one sec, guys. Let me just check one thing.
Sure.
How are the Patriots doing?
We're winning 14-3. Thank you very much for asking.
Here we go. Okay. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve?
Hey, guys. Greetings from Fresno.
Hey, how's it going?
Michael from Catalyst here. We have
hey,
Brian.
Mike.
No, I never got a chance to apologize about that Super Bowl last year. I'm sorry, but not really sorry.
Man, really? There's freaking bad people on this show. What the hell?
Let anybody on.
Okay. So, question for you guys. I know we've worked together in the past, and you know I've taken a different path in my career now, jumped out on the agency side. And, you know, one of the things, you know, it's been a learning process, it's been a great experience for me. But one of the things, you know, that I'm trying to gain some more understanding of is when you're looking at, you know, folks like me or folks or businesses like ours from your perspective, especially in new roles at new properties, you know, how are you evaluating, you know, agencies and what are the types of things you want to see when we come to you and approach you and say, hey, we want your business. What do you want to see from us that's going to win you over?
Well, you know, obviously this is kind of in my wheelhouse because that's the side of the business I came up through. Both,
right.
Yeah, actually, I met Roy when I was at an agency, believe it or not,
yep.
And then you know moved back onto the property side. But you know, first of all, you know, a proven track record, I think, is very important. You know, you've got to be able to have a story that they not only can tell, but is applicable to my situation to a degree. At least give me the comfort that whatever it is that you're providing, you have I'm not going to be your first one in that realm, if you will. And then I want to take a look at how you process things. What is your thinking? What's important to you to get me to a point, to create something for me that I feel is going to benefit my customers, my, you know, my property? And then once I'm comfortable with those, now let's talk about, you know, how we're going to get there, what's the journey going to look like, and ultimately what's it going to cost me to go there with you versus someone else. And, you know, the nice thing about our industry today is there's a lot of people who have got some experience in this business now that they didn't used to have. I know when I first started, there were basically three or four agencies that recognized that this business was going to be something and really got aggressive and got good at it, and they got a lot of business early on. Eventually, a lot of other people, you know, joined in, and now there's a good selection out there to, you know, to work with. And nothing, you know, nothing replaces experience with someone. So, you know, obviously, if I personally have a history with a group, then I'm going to feel much better about working with them again, simply because we've been through it. We've been through the war together, and we kind of like the familiarity that Roy and I have with each other. I have that with, you know, with some partners that I've worked with a number of times as well. Always looking, you know, I work with a lot more people today than I did 5 years ago, and a lot of the people I worked with 5 years ago I don't work with anymore. So it's an evolving process, and you know, the best advice I could give someone trying to break into the business, whether it's as an employee or as a vendor, is be patient and stick to it. And I've got to know, you know, Mark, and obviously I've known you a long time. You know, you guys are a good group, and you know, you've learned the business, and I think you have a lot to be proud of, and that's going to serve you well moving forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, Steve nails it, right? And, you know, there's something to be said for, you know, comfort and experience with someone. But let's say it's a brand-new market, brand-new industry, and you're coming in cold. You know, Steve will tell you, one of the things I always tell everybody that works with me and for me, you can never have enough smart people around. You know, so I'm going to ask a lot of questions just to gauge whether I think you're smart. And I don't mean smart as in book sense, but you did some research on my market, on my company, maybe even on me, you know, to be able to, you know that I'm going to ask you some off-the-wall things, right? And I'm just trying to gauge that, yeah, can they move with us? If we're going to try to move quickly, is this company smart enough to say, oh, yeah, you're going to zig, we're zigging with you, or we're going to know when you're ready to zag? So, to me, that intelligence level of having done a lot of research before you come in to do a presentation is immeasurable. It's priceless to me.
Yeah, don't waste our time. We got other stuff to do and plenty of people to do it with. Do your homework. Come prepared. Don't come with all the answers, but be willing to give an answer when you're asked a direct question.
Fair enough. Appreciate you guys. And not just now, but all the time. I know, you know, Steve, I've hit you up for advice, you know, throughout the years, and Roy. So appreciate, you know, all you do for, you know, for a lot of people in the industry that you guys work with. And catch up with you guys in a few days here next week.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Week.
Looking forward to it, bud.
All right. Take it easy.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Hey, guys, this has been real fun. I really appreciate you guys coming on, and we're going to definitely have you guys back on, because some of the stuff you were saying was really remarkable, and I thank you both for coming on the shows before as individuals and coming in this time. It's been really great.
Well, this is the only way I get Roy to actually talk to me. You know, I call him, and, you know, he ignores me. At least this way I can talk to him a little bit. So.
Oh, my God. Next week, I am dedicating all G2E week to you. You name the day, and I am there.
Sounds like a plan. Well, appreciate all
hang on. I got one more. Someone just texted me and wants to talk to you guys. Hang on one sec.
Oh, jeez.
Hello, this is GT Radio. Do you have a question for Roy and Steve?
Well, geez, I've been waiting so long. Aloha, this is Michael Kahn. It's a pleasure to hear you two gentlemen on the phone. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, all the things that I asked. You guys, you know, really kind of done a good job at kind of explaining everything. And then it just occurred to me that there's this music out there. So, before Ice Babies in the background, no. You know, you talked about all the different kind of elements about the business that I think that we're all very familiar with. One of the things that I always like to ask anybody who's been around a while, and you know, you've gone through multiple stages in your careers, and you're now kind of at that point where you can kind of shed the knowledge or share the knowledge and help people, you know, kind of continue to grow. And you've touched on some points on that, but one of the ones that I ask is, you know, how do you deal with your stress? You know, Roy made a point of saying, you know, you can't go in there and share it with everybody when you're out there. And you know, how do you detox for yourselves? And then how do you encourage your team members to look at their challenges in a global way so that, you know, they know that this one challenge in front of them isn't going to define them?
Wow. You know, most of the people who really know me kind of laugh because it really takes a lot to get me worked up, right? I'm crazy about my blood pressure. If I go into CVS tonight to grab something and they have a blood pressure machine, I check it. You know, if I get above 125 over 77, I think there's something wrong. So, you know, I have six kids. So, for me, I have a great ability to let things go. And that's why Steve said that earlier. That's my, like, go-to saying. You let it go, right? I mean, it's important to know what matters, what doesn't matter, and only stress about the things that you can control. And, I mean, I just let things go real easily for me. When I talk to my team, I try to just, you know, to get that point across. Hey, you know, we're going to do a lot of things, and we're going to do some of them not well, and we're going to do, you know, some of them very well, and we're going to improve on each and every one of those. And you can't let the ones we don't do right bother you or affect your, whether it's your health, your personal life, your home life, your work, the rest of what you've got to do at work. You've just got to let that go and move on. Process it and move on.
And that's something I learned from Roy very well. I'm still working on doing it better, but he's absolutely right. I think one of the things that's allowed me to kind of take the next step is, you know, focusing energy on the things that require focus and finding things outside of that to fill in the spaces. And one of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of it, is, you know, just a lot of speaking and a lot of coaching and just sharing information and teaching. And that's a real passion of mine. It's just teaching and watching. I get energy from other people. When I see someone else, that light bulb goes off, then whether it's my son, you know, one of my sons, or, you know, a coworker or an employee, just when I see the light bulb go off, it inspires me to want to do it again. And that really just kind of keeps it, you know, in perspective for me.
I think those are great answers. I agree with both of those. I think one more question, if you don't mind. How do you identify and nurture talent within your organization?
Well, I think that's an area I'm very proud of, the teams that I've had over the years, and I'm very proud of the number of people that at one point or another, it's kind of like the coaching tree. You know, someone that was on my team as one of my team members that's now running a department or even a property somewhere else, I take a lot of pride in that. And I think, you know, going back to what Roy said as far as evaluating people that you want to work with, you know, when I find that person, and they may not have all the answers, but they're the person that's going to find the answers for you. No one's going to outwork them. No one's going to outsmart them. And they're going to put the effort in. And I think of just off the top of my head, a half a dozen people that I truly have had the opportunity to mentor, and I'm so proud of what they were able to do. They didn't have it they didn't have the knowledge, but they had the desire, and they, you know, they put the work in, and that's what it takes. No one, it doesn't come easy. You may have the, you, if you have the brains but you don't have the work, the, don't put the work in, you're not going to get there. It's got to be a combination, and a lot of it is the work.
What Steve does well, yeah, that he I don't know that he recognizes or realizes and just doesn't want to mention is Steve gives lots of people opportunities. So you said, how do you identify, potential performers, basically, is what you're asking. So how do you identify people in your organization who have potential to help drive you forward? Steve talks to everybody. So Steve gives everybody the opportunity and can then assess from there. You know, we all know a lot of people and had bosses who just stick to their silo. I talk to the same 5, 6, 7, 8 people, right? So I've already got everybody pigeonholed in what I think they can do. And like I said, Steve talked to everybody on the team and allowed him to assess, hey, you know what, I think this person's capable of doing more. And I don't think enough of us do that.
No, that's good.
Great.
Give them a little more on their plate and get that pressure going. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Thanks,
thank
Mike.
You. I appreciate
really appreciate
it. Great call today. Enjoy.
We'll see you next
week. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. All right, guys. Great show. Really appreciate you guys coming on. And thanks, everybody, for, you know, calling in and listening. You guys are fantastic.
Well,
thank you,
thanks,
Tino.
Steve. Thanks, Tino. Appreciate it.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Take care, guys.
See
you. Yep.
See
you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. That was great. These guys are fantastic. A lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom. We're going to be off for a week as a G2E, but when we come back, we're going to have a great show for you. We have Carter Pavey, and he's a great, great guy. So we'll see you then. And remember, everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen to it. And have a great night. Bye-bye.